Number 17. While you do so, I'd like to welcome those of you that have found us on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. We thank you so much for joining us this morning. Special greeting to Brother Norberto and his wife, Josefina, one of my favorite cooks. Thank you all so much for watching the service each week. We pray for y'all and for the property and the new church building that's going to be going up soon. So we appreciate all of you. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Well, this is quite familiar to most folks. It's heard a lot during Thanksgiving. Only 1 out of 10 lepers that were healed gave thanks with the cleansing of their leprosy. Well, with all that went on this morning, our beloved sister, I don't believe that we could focus on a regular series. We'll be starting, Lord willing, the 6th truth of our series, Be Not Ignorant Concerning Spiritual Gifts. But I think we'll defer that until next Sunday. So that's a reason to come back. Plus, if you're a guest and someone invited you today, make them take you out to eat afterwards next Sunday. So that'll work too, Jeff. So this would be, I believe, a good time to remind ourselves that we should never take the things of God or our family or friends for granted. Things and people can be taken away from us at a moment's notice with no prior preparation or prior notice. As I said, this is a familiar parable. Comes after verse 5. Which sort of sets the reason why the Lord taught what he did. It said, the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." Be careful what you pray for. To have your faith increased, it means that there's coming an event in your life that will greatly decrease your dependence upon yourself. To increase faith means you have a greater dependence upon the Lord and a less dependence upon self. Increase our faith, Lord. We want more faith. Lord said, verse 6, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, anybody ever plant mustard greens? They're not very big, are they? You just throw them out. You broadcast them. He said, if you had that much faith, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now be careful of the wrong application there. Faith is not coming up with your own will and then believing it like the power of positive thinking, that faith will obey you and God will bend His will so that your will can be done. That's not what it's saying, and that is a false application that feeds pride and covetousness. So beware of that. Beware that God is there to serve you. Now, God has saved us and delivered us from what we were in order for us to serve Him according to His purpose and according to His will. So as we pray that His will would be revealed as we pray, and that we would carry out His will with His strength and ability to do so. Faith is not believing anything you want to happen. Faith only operates according to God's word. Faith functions when it comes in contact with God's word, and then we step out in absolute trust and dependence upon what God has said is true. You cannot put faith in yourself or in another person or in an institution or in an event that you want to take place. Faith is a spiritual function. It is a spiritual gift that comes from God to enable us to not only believe and understand God's word, but to act on it. Faith, James says, produces an action, a work. So we believe God at His word, and we step out on the greatest foundation that can ever be laid on our feet, God's truthfulness and unchangeable word. That's how faith functions and operates. A lost person has no faith, so therefore he can never exercise faith. A person can believe. A person can trust. A person can hope. And those are first cousins to faith, but it's not faith exactly. Faith produces a heart belief. Faith will produce a dependence upon the Lord, a trust in the Lord. And faith in what God said in His word about what's going to take place in the future produces a hope that is like an anchor of the soul. But when you divorce the word of God from all of that, you just have human reasoning and you just have a wish that something will take place. So not only did the Lord answer the disciples' prayer about increasing their faith, which He did, He taught them what it was, and then they experienced it as He went to Calvary. And as the church began to function and operate, they began to experience faith for themselves. And it did increase as they increased in their usefulness and in their effectiveness in the Lord's hand. And so He said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, verse 6 said, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Do you remember the object lesson that the Lord gave with the fig tree? It's the same lesson. Creation and created things obey God, the Creator? Well, all except human creation, because they're much smarter than God. And they know better how to live life than the way that He's designed it. And their wisdom far exceeds the wisdom of God, so they know how to make the right decisions. How's that working for them? So, if you know what God's Word says, and you know what it means and understands what it means, then when you come up with an impossible situation that is beyond you, that is beyond your mental capacity, beyond your understanding, beyond your strength, beyond your capabilities of taking care of it, then stand still and see the power of God. Trust Him at all times, and He'll direct your paths. He'll direct you in a way that you would never have dreamed of, that you would have never thought of yourself, that you would have never chosen for yourself. But therein lies the delight and the joy of knowing God and being a child of God. You never know what another day is going to bring forth. You never know how God is going to put ourselves into a situation so that He can reveal not only His power, but His great love for us. Faith dutifully responds to the words and to the will of God. And when you know what that is, you can pray with faith and absolute assurance. Now, if you don't know what God's will is, then that's how you have to pray. Lord, reveal Your will, and until that happens, may Your will be done in this situation. Now, we can make our request made known unto God. We can say, Lord, I sure would like for this to happen, but the bottom line is, Lord, I don't have all the information like You do. So I defer to You, and if it's in Your will, I'd sure like that to happen, or I'd sure like to have that. Sometimes the Lord just gives you things. It's amazing. You can just make a request one Sunday, and the next Sunday you get a banana pudding. Of course, He uses human instruments. I understand that, you know. But I thank the Lord with each bite, and thank the person He used with each bite. You know, He said to call Him Father for a reason. Our earthly fathers, they delight in giving their children things. The middle one, she was the most expressive, I guess. She would come sit on my lap, tell me how much weight it appears like I'm losing, how much thicker my hair seems to be. And yeah, I know, but I still like to hear it. And I knew she was fixing to hit me up for something, but I enjoyed the fellowship. You know, I see our Heavenly Father the same way. I don't understand it, but it says that we were created for His pleasure. We were created to have fellowship with Him, to spend time with Him. So when we don't do that, sometimes the Lord has to move things around in our life to where we won't have anything else to do but lay in the bed and spend time with Him. But you know, I found out if you really love someone, you want to spend time with them. But so he tells them about the possibilities of faith if they simply take him at his word. He said, verse 7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat, to supper. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, I may eat, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, I think not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty. Boy, Lord, I went to Sunday school 2 Sundays in a row. Don't you think I deserve? No, he's not so much thinking about us as servants as the subject of the context, faith. Faith is a servant of God's will. And after faith is exercised and produced a spiritual result, we don't glorify the gift of faith. It's a tool that God uses to produce a spiritual work, to produce a heart belief inside of us. Prayer is the same way. Oh, thank God for prayer. No, thank God. Prayer is a vehicle. When you finally hear from someone you hadn't heard from for a long time, you don't go, oh, thank you, phone. At least hope not. Prayer has no power in and of itself. It's not the act of prayer, it's who prayer connects us with. Okay. Then you've got what he's saying now about faith. So don't praise faith, don't praise prayer, don't praise the gifts that God gives us, praise the giver of those gifts, which those gifts were intended for us to do. It is to increase our... Boy, I just love you, Lord, even greater for that. Or I trust you even more because you allowed this to come into my life. It's to magnify the Lord, not the gift. So with that in mind, he said in verse 19, he says to this one person, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, the other 9 acted in faith because they started out headed toward the priests before the Lord healed them. He didn't heal them and say, now go show yourself to the priest. He said, go to the priests. And they all 10 went. But only a physical healing took place in them. Physical healing is not an end of itself. It is a means for God to be glorified. It is a means to show you that if He can heal you physically, He can heal you spiritually, which is far more needed. Physical health will only last your lifetime. Spiritual health lasts for eternity. If all you want from God is your comfort, your physical health, wealth, a good job, if that's all you want is His gifts without wanting anything to do with Him, you've missed it. But with this tenth guy, something deeper happened to him than happened to the other nine. They got what they wanted from God. That's all they wanted. And they received it. But that tenth one wanted something a little bit more than just simply physical healing. Because there was something wrong besides the leprosy. I'm sure sitting around isolated from society and from their family, it gave them time to think. And I'm sure that he noted that there's something in his life besides leprosy that was wrong. The other thing that the Lord notes here in the end of verse 16, it says, and he was a Samaritan. It's just sort of like that's an afterthought. He just threw that out there. He threw that out there because of who he was teaching. You see, there's certain people that think only a select few can come to God. And the names are endless. But it comes down to the belief that God has only chosen a certain few to come to Him, and He's relegated the rest to perdition. Now, that's not what the Bible says. Whosoever will can come to God. Now, being God and being eternal, He knows who will and who won't. So He knows beforehand that fact. So don't let that confuse your biblical theology with a philosophical theology based on what you think or what's reasonable to you or that agrees with your justice. Stay with what God says and you won't get out into left field. He was a Samaritan. Samaritans can know and come into a covenant relationship with God. That was the object behind him talking to the woman at the well. And the disciples were shocked that he was even talking to her. We need those lessons. Is there somebody that you don't want, if the truth be known, even to be saved? In other words, you want them to get justice. You don't want them forgiven. That's the spirit that Jonah had. Be careful of that. The thing about another person's behavior that's frustrating and aggravating you is sin. So the solution to that is the gospel. And the solution to getting the gospel to a person is to love that person with the love that God has loved you with. Make sense? So set your personal feelings aside and give the gospel to every person you come in contact with. So these nine, upon realizing what was done, they had one thing in mind: their family. Going home. Don't be too awful harsh in your judgment of them. They had been isolated for who knows how long. Leprosy was very contagious, and so they kept them shut away, isolated. So they hadn't seen their family for perhaps even years. So the first thing is to head to the priest as quickly as possible, because the law said that in order to come out of isolation, to come out of quarantine, the priest had to pronounce you clean. Then you were permitted to come into society. So that was foremost on their minds. Returning to their normal life, to their family, to their friends. I mean, human nature is involved here. How many folks seek out the Lord and diligently pray? Seek out prayer circles when a severe sickness comes, when a crisis comes, when a tragedy comes. They sit in hospital chapels. They sit in churches. They begin making promises to the Lord. But then when the crisis is past, normal life resumes. And that sense of urgency in seeking the Lord in prayer and seeking His presence and His face sort of passes. I mean, did the 9 healed lepers take Jesus for granted? Did they assume that He knew they were grateful without having to express it? Well, at least we know where to find Him the next time we need Him, perhaps they're thinking. Does the Lord only hear from you when there's an urgent request, when there's a crisis? Now, the things we take for granted. Are there things that the Lord has given us that we hardly even notice or recognize? Do we acknowledge that they're due to God's grace and to His mercy? Lord, have mercy on us. He does. Faith and prayer, we've already mentioned. What about salvation? One thing I've noticed, if you're talking about prophecy, if you're talking about the end times and people sort of sit up, take notice. Then when you begin to talk about Jesus, they kind of get dull of hearing. One of the things I noticed in Ukraine is that very few people took things for granted. I noticed their family was a little bit closer. The soldiers in the assembly room. You know, not one of them went to sleep while I was preaching. They were fixing to head to the front. There was a sense of urgency there. We have an assurance of heaven. Are we taking heaven for granted? Maybe I deserve it. The Bible? You know, we can hear God's voice anytime we want to pick it up. What about our church? You ever lived in a place where there's not a church like this? Your family? The last time you told your wife you loved her, appreciate what she did, or your husband. When's the last time you hugged one of your children? When's the last time you told somebody you loved them? Y'all heard me say when I came back from the mission trip, when's the last time you thanked God for water? Have you ever been without it for a while? You ever been hungry? I don't mean between breakfast and lunch. I mean hungry. There was no food. Home? air conditioner in the summer, heater in the winter. How thankful. And do we thank God for it? Do we see it as a blessing from Him or something that we earned for ourselves? Lights. Do we have to be reminded with a storm to come through and we lose the power? We lose our comfort? Do we have to be reminded of how much we take for granted that we shouldn't? The question is, do we have to be reminded not to take the Lord, the things that He provides for granted, and our family and friends? Or can we do so ourselves? Do we have to have a huge wake-up call for that to happen? So, how do we do it? Okay. Verse 15. It's in our text. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He turned back from his plans. He turned back from his will. He turned back from what he wanted to do. Go home, go to the priest, get pronounced, go to home, see everybody, life back to normal. He turned back. He said, no, there's something more important I need to do first. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. When's the last time you sang with a loud voice? Say, preacher, I don't know how to sing. Well, if you'll sing louder, people around you will sing louder to drown you out. Before long, we've got a song service going that is a praise to the Lord. It don't have anything to do with musical ability. It has to do with a heart full of thanksgiving that affects your mouth to where you say, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. And then he said it, he fell down, verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. It's the same thing he did in verse 12 when he looked for the Lord. He went back to the Lord, to His presence. And verse 13, they lifted up their voices, they prayed. They glorified God when He came back. He gave glory to the Lord by thanking Him, by praising Him, by acknowledging that he would still be in the leper camp dying had not the Lord did what he did. Sometimes we need a reminder of what we were before the Lord found us. That'd be humbling if we would do that. We wouldn't be near as proud. And we'd be more thankful. And he fell on his face. He worshiped the Lord. Hopefully, that's why you're here this morning. Not because there was nothing else to do. Not because you worked it into your schedule to where you could bless God by your presence. But you put him first. That's called in Ephesians giving him preeminence over everything and everybody in your life. Okay? So when you do that, then everything falls into place. Your job, your responsibilities, your family. And when God is not in preeminence Oh, well, you know, God understands that I have to do this. Please read that out of the Bible for me. And it's amazing when you put all this other stuff first, nothing seems to work out. So you spent 7 days and you're further back than had you spent 6 days. See what I'm saying? Put him first before anything or anybody and everything else will fall into place. Seek him, whether it's convenient or whether it's not, whether the sun's shining or whether it's raining, whether it's easy to go or whether it's hard to go. How much you love the Lord is expressed in what you do outwardly. Just like you can tell your wife you love her all day long, but if you didn't give her a birthday present or an anniversary present, bud, you in problems. You don't just say it, you show it. God is the same way. Oh, I love you, Lord, but you don't do anything He says to do. You don't even bother to show up on Sunday to express how much you love Him. As a matter of fact, the harder it is to get to church on Sunday, the more opportunity you have to show God how much you love Him. I love you more than sleeping late. I mean, you go to your job and don't sleep late, and it's not even because you love your boss. So if you go by a sense of duty, how much more should you go by a sense of love? So this morning has been a reminder. Tell God and show God how much you love Him by what you do. Show your wife or husband how much you love them by what you say and do and how you treat them. How you speak to them. Ask God for a little bit bigger portion of patience, and then you can show your children how much you love them. Then folks sitting around you in the pew, don't take this for granted. God has given us a special blessing here in this place with folks that love you, pray for you, and care about you. Folks, don't take anything for granted. Father, we love you, and we know how easy that is to say, but I pray that our life would demonstrate how much we do love you supremely. And how you do take the preeminence in our life before anything or anybody else. Because, Lord, it's your love that enables us to love our family and provide for our family like we do. To have a place of fellowship with your people. A place of support, a place of encouragement, a place of love. Lord, I pray we'd keep short accounts with you and short accounts with each other. We wouldn't let a day go by that somebody doesn't hear, somebody doesn't see our love for them. We thank you for answered prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you because certainly could have went a different way. So we acknowledge, Lord, your grace and your mercy. We pray for the family. Lord, that you would be glorified through this and that they would have a reminder as well. Lord, we pray for the gentleman that came and helped us with our sound system, TJ. And he has specifically asked us to pray for his mom. Lord, we do that this morning as well. Lord, there's needs and there's requests that are too private and too personal to voice out loud. Lord, you're well acquainted with each one. So we ask you, Lord, that those needs would be met according to your power and according to your will. Lord, we do thank you for our health. Lord, even the sicknesses and the challenges that come our way, Lord, it's an opportunity to thank you that it wasn't worse, that you have given us the means, Lord, to treat those through doctors, through medicine. But Lord, we don't trust them, we trust you. Lord, even in the tragedies and crises, Lord, it just serves to remind us of how much we trust you with our life. Now, Lord, thank you for this time, this needed time, Lord, these reminders. Lord, bless our fellowship afterwards, Lord. And Lord, bless our sisters' recovery. Thank you for these that are here this morning, those that are listening in, or those that are lost, have never been born again. I pray today would be the day of salvation because we have no promise for tomorrow. Lord, for those that are not living for you, that belong to you, Lord, may they wake up this morning to the urgency of right with you. Lord, have your way in our hearts and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.